to Leprechaun Lunch with Sean and Sharpley.
Oh, yeah!
On 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader.
What is this?
We're talking Notre Dame football, the NFL, the Cubs, and more.
Oh, yeah, I like this idea.
The Leprechaun Lunch.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
With Sean Stiers.
All you do is dribble.
I have to dribble. If I give it to you, you just shoot.
And Evan Sharpley.
You're a chucker. You chuck.
If it's happening in sports.
Bumble!
We're talking about it.
Flag on the play.
Now your hosts. Sean Stiers and former Irish quarterback. Evan Sharpley.
You don't look like Evan Sharpley.
No, not even a little bit. I definitely don't work out as much as he does.
No, you don't have the biceps. You've kind of got the same hair a little bit. He's probably got a little bit better hair. He's just genetically more gifted than either one of us.
That's fair.
He's Vince D'Addario sitting in today on this day after the 4th of July, and we are in studio today. Typically, and I can't even remember the last time this show was in the studio, where we've made our home away from home. For the most part, at Five Star Dive Bar, and if we haven't been there, we've been at Four Winds Casino, South Bend.
That's right.
We are, Five Star is closed this week for the 4th of July. They're chilling out by the lake, doing a little barbecue, I guess. Probably having some beverages someplace. I don't know exactly what.
Nothing wrong with an apple juice every now and again.
Yeah. Did you have a good 4th?
It was good. It was pretty laid back. You know, didn't have to work any job, which was fantastic.
Yeah.
Got to, reintroduce myself to my kids, so that was cool. And, yeah,
it only
took good.
Until the 4th of July to do it.
Huh? Well, you know, happy birthday, America.
That's right. That's right. Well, glad to have you in with us. We've got a lot of different things we're going to be covering today. Did you do any fireworks last night?
We actually went to fireworks last night. Actually, my whole family went to fireworks. I got to pick my son up at his girlfriend's house, who got to watch fireworks.
Girlfriend?
So I was just the chauffeur.
Isn't he like 12?
Yeah, he's 12.
And he's got a girlfriend.
He's an overachiever.
Oh, boy.
I know.
Starting it already.
Believe me, I'm not overly happy about it, but she's nice.
Another story for another day.
Yes, sir.
All right. We've got a lot of Chicago Cubs baseball talk that we're going to have.
Yes,
in this
we
show.
Do.
Things are they exploding or imploding on the north side?
I would say it depends on who you talk to and how you look at it.
They got explosive yesterday. They finally won. Theo Epstein earlier this week saying big changes are going to be coming if things don't turn around. They turned around for at least one day. As you heard John Hoffman in his sports just a couple of minutes ago, he had the soundbite from Joe Maddon after getting tossed by Joe West yesterday, essentially for yelling at the other manager.
That was great.
So we're going to get into that. And we also have, we're going to have a little fun because last two games of the Crosstown Series are this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. And they're on the south side this time after the first couple games were a couple of weeks ago at Wrigley Field. So what Vince and I are going to do is we're going to draft a fantasy team composed of White Sox and Cubs players. We'll compare, see what we've got. Darren and I are going to do the same thing later today on Sports Beat.
Oh, really?
Well. So I'm interested to, especially to see how, and you know what? Of course, did you bring a quarter by any chance?
No.
Or a nickel? Or
no, I've got,
a penny?
I literally took my change out this morning.
I literally, because we were off yesterday, I sat a quarter at the head of my computer, the right in front of me at my desk. And I said, don't forget to take this quarter and to flip the coin.
So
we can flip a coin to see who gets the first pick. And then, of course, I forgot the quarter. I can get it during our break because we'll do that in the second segment in just a little bit. So we're going to do that. But in the meantime, so we've got a lot of Cubs talk. We're going to do that Crosstown Draft. Ah, Vince has got a penny.
I got a penny.
So we can flip the penny.
My net worth in my backpack.
All right, good deal. So we'll do that in a little bit. In the meantime, let's get some Notre Dame football talk because we've got 52 days until Notre Dame kicks off the season.
Is that all?
It's actually, these last 48 days have kind of flown by because I remember when we started the 100 days countdown, and it really seems like more like it's only been maybe a month or so since we started that, but we're at 52,
man.
And we're flying by. And I mean, now we're in July. We've got NFL training camps starting in a couple of weeks. We're going to have Notre Dame training camp. in early August, like always. So that's coming and just 52 days away from the season opener at Louisville.
I was going to say, because training camp is usually, what, that first week of August in that neighborhood?
Right around there.
I mean, that's literally right around the corner.
It's always a benchmark for you and I because our wedding anniversaries a few years apart, but on the same day.
It's true.
As fate would have it. And it's, so it's... I never would have thought when I got married back in 1993 how much that was going to actually matter of just a few short years later that I'm getting married right at the start of what would happen to be college football training camp.
You're not wrong, because coaching high school football for so long, that first week is always the first week of two-a-days.
Mm-hmm.
And what inevitably takes a back seat is the anniversary. And when we got married in 2004... football was, that was nowhere near on the horizon.
Thinking about
it was
that.
Not even a thought. I remember thinking, I'm going to get married before school starts. That's the important thing. But now, since I'm not coaching football this fall, the wife is super excited.
Much bigger deal.
That's right, because we get to actually celebrate.
All right. So what are you looking forward to when the season kicks off, Notre Dame Louisville? Forward to from the Irish.
You know what? Since I'm an offensive guy, I'm really looking forward to what the Notre Dame offense is going to look like in year two under Ian Book. You know, this is supposedly the guy that Chip Long wants running his offense. So I want to see, you know, where that goes. Plus, you know, not only the maturation process of Ian Book, but I think he's going to have a stronger running game behind him because I think the O-line is going to be better. Not necessarily the running backs, but I think the running back group as a whole is better. And he's going to have so many weapons on the outside to get the ball to. Because this offense is predicated on getting the ball in the hands of the playmakers. And I think that sophomore group, that rising sophomore group, has some amazing talent at the wide receiver position.
Mm-hmm.
And Ian Book, I'm sure, is licking his chops to throw a 5-yard pass and turn it into a 65-yard touchdown. You know, I mean, just getting the ball to those guys, that's his job. He just needs to get it out and get it where it needs to be. I'm excited to see where that goes.
A lot of different playmakers we're going to see. Their ability, whether they can stretch the field.
Yes.
Maybe open things up. That was the thing for Ian Book last year, obviously, was getting the ball downfield.
Right, his confidence level
stretch it more.
Doing that is going to be huge. I mean, I know the coaching staff is going to be pushing him to push the ball downfield a little bit more, open things up, because what did Clemson do? They just stacked the box and said, you're not going to run the ball. And you're not going to get any short passes. So if you're going to beat us, you got to go over the top. And it didn't happen.
And there's a full body of film now on Ian Book as
true.
Well. So it's really important that he's able to do that after playing in 12 games last year. The accuracy was there.
Sure.
Short range. Got to be able to stretch it a little bit downfield. And so I'll just piggyback off that then, because you touched on the running backs. And that's what I'm looking for. How are these, especially Tony Jones Jr. and Jafar Armstrong, in whichever order you want to put them in, how are they going to take their games to the next level? Because they did pretty good early on, especially when Brandon Wimbush was there. They did a solid enough job. They made plays when they needed to. And then when Dexter Williams came along, he took the running game to another level. So how are these two guys, how's Jafar Armstrong going to be able to play through some bumps and bruises this
right.
year that it sounded like he wasn't really necessarily able to do? How is he going to complement things as a pass catcher and Tony Jones Jr. as well? Tony, a little bit more physical, well-built of the two. How's Jafar, is he going to have that an extra coat of armor now this year with a full year in the Bayless offseason training program? And the big thing for both of them, just like I said with Jafar Armstrong, how is it going to elevate as far as the receiving aspect? Because they both have good hands. Jafar is a converted wide receiver. Chip Long's offenses in the past, you've seen the running back much more involved in the passing game. How are they going to take that next progression this year?
Well, it just adds a whole level to the offense. I mean, obviously, I'm at a different level, but when I'm watching teams from the box, a lot of times that running back is unaccounted for,
mm-hmm.
you know, because either it's an outside linebacker that can't keep up with a running back, or it's going to be a nickel. But a lot of times that running back, if you can get that running back involved in the passing game, it's going to make you that much more explosive. So I'm sure that Chip Long wants to get this particular group of backs involved.
All right.
Yes, sir.
You make some interesting points. So I'm glad to hear we're sort of tracking a little bit along the same line.
I think it's going to be fun just because, I mean, who doesn't like to watch scoring in college football? Mm-hmm. If you're a student of the game, obviously there's other things that you look at and think, but man, scoring touchdowns and scoring points is fun. And I think you could see this team averaging 32, 35, 36 points a game. You know, I think that could be really exciting. And that's where you have to be an elite team. You have to be able to outscore people at times.
Absolutely. All right. So let's piggyback this
okay.
a little bit. FanDuel has set over-unders for the upcoming season. And I've got a list of some over-unders, not just Notre Dame, but some others. Notre Dame's is set at 8.5. The odds on the over are minus 184. The odds on the... Hold it. I wrote the same thing twice, didn't I?
Now I've got 184 and 154.
Okay, yeah. So the odds on the over are plus 154.
Yes.
The odds on the over,
or the under, rather.
That's what I wrote.
What
I wrote over twice. The odds on the under are minus 184 at 8.5. Thoughts, Vince?
Okay. This is going to sound like such a homer. It is. It's going to come off as sounding like I've got the rose-colored glasses on, etc.
Nope.
Okay, but setting the number at 8.5 for Notre Dame after they've had back-to-back 10-plus win seasons, I don't see them slowing down. I think that's an insult. 8.5 is an insult. It should at the very least be at 9.5 because I think anybody that looks at 8.5 is going to take the over every time. I really do believe that, especially if you look at their schedule, they're going to take the over every single time. You put it at 9.5, then you start to think about it a little bit.
And that's got to be why they set it so low, because I agree. I think it needs to be 9.5.
Yes.
Like reality 9.5. But Vegas,
sure.
I could see 8.5, because now you're tempting every Notre Dame fan there is to take the over.
Absolutely.
But at 9.5, I think it's a lot tougher decision.
Oh, I agree. Because winning 10 games a season is not an easy task. Okay, a million different things can happen. Injuries, you have a bad day, mm-hmm. whatever. So I could see them winning 9. I don't think it's going to happen, but I could see them winning 9. So you're at least in the conversation at 9.5. But 8.5, I just don't see this team winning 8 games. You're telling me they're going to go 8-4 in the regular season? I just don't see that.
With the bulk of the offense back.
Yeah.
The quarterback.
I mean, they're going to be able to outscore alone a lot of the teams on their schedule.
Yeah, I mean, there are some questions that have to be answered.
Of course.
On the defensive side of the ball. But I think just, again, looking at what they have offensively, I think that you're going to see a team that scores more points this season. They're probably going to have to score
sure.
more points unless everything just comes to fruition perfectly.
And that rarely happens.
Core. Yeah, and even with the defensive line. But, I mean, when you look at the schedule, the four toughest games at Georgia, at Michigan, at Stanford, home against USC. And that Duke's not going to be a pushover, so okay. There's
Virginia will be pretty decent. They got a good quarterback. Yeah. Okay.
Virginia Tech again. But let's say they lose 3 of those really tough games that you're sitting right there at 9. And I just don't see, based on what we've seen the last couple of years, I don't see a big regression from the rest of the team. So. Well,
and I think there's an argument to be made that of those 4, 2 are really somewhat difficult. Stanford and USC, Stanford's been in a lull recently. And you know.
It is at Stanford, though.
It is at Stanford. It's the end of the season, so a lot of it's going to be right on that mm-hmm. game, potentially. Okay. I mean, USC's installing a brand new offense that, you know, they've got a new offensive coordinator. They're trying
Questions
to run
with their quarterback already.
Absolutely. He's still young. I mean, do they have talent? Absolutely. Are they good at putting it together? Not recently. So, you know, I don't know that those games are as difficult as in the past. And don't even get me started on Michigan. I'm sure we'll talk about that momentarily.
Hey, let's talk about them right now. You want to talk about them right
now?
Let's
do it.
Because their over-under is 9.5.
So you're telling me that a team that Notre Dame beat last year, and that game was never in doubt. I don't care what anybody says.
Well, did that game actually happen? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, it did. I watched it. It was a good game. But that game was never in doubt. And I don't care what the final score was. That game was never in doubt. Okay? I've seen them listed as high as 3 in some preseason polls.
Mm-hmm.
3! Did anybody watch their bowl game where they got absolutely shellacked by Florida? I mean, that was embarrassing. That was an embarrassing game.
And that was with a really good what was supposed to be a really good defense.
Correct.
I mean, they got shellacked by Ohio State and Florida in back-to-back games to close the season. They gave up over 100 points in those two games combined.
And how many first-round NFL draft picks did they lose off of that defense, too? You know, I mean, you lose arguably, in my opinion, their best defensive player in Chase Winovich.
Notre Dame turns over the core, the linebacking core.
Sure.
And Jerry Tillery, the really good defensive lineman. But Michigan turns over virtually the whole defense.
Oh, absolutely. And so you're telling me that the offense that we all saw during the season not do anything is going to now put this team on their back and just ride the wave all season. Now, their schedule isn't that difficult, I will say that, being in the Big Ten. I mean, especially when you throw in Middle Tennessee, Rutgers, Illinois. Yeah, those are wins. I get that. You know, I would assume Michigan State's going to have a bounce back here, but Maryland's probably not going to be very good. But you still have Army. Army's on the uptick. I would not be surprised to see Army go into the Big House and make a statement. Notre Dame, obviously. Ohio State. I mean, he's got some pretty big games.
Harbaugh's still never beaten Michigan, or Ohio State.
Yeah, yeah.
Win against Michigan State.
He hasn't really done anything spectacular at Michigan since he's been there.
They've got to go to Penn State. They'll have a new quarterback, but then they've got at Wisconsin as well. So the over-under at 9.5, I'm going under. I think they're going to lose three games.
I would take the under as well. I have no faith in the Wolverines. And I'm trying to look at it from neutral point of view. But
isn't it a little bit tougher when you're sitting there at 9.5 compared to 8.5 for Notre Dame?
Yes.
To make that decision?
If you put Michigan at 8.5, I'm probably going to take the over and not think about it that long.
Yeah.
You know, but if you put it at 9.5, then people are going to have discussion.
Yep.
No question.
Ohio State's over under. Again, this is per FanDuel. Ohio State's is 10.5.
Until they prove that they don't win all their Big Ten games, and, you know, then I'm taking that over. I mean,
see, they're still loaded with talent.
Absolutely.
And then they get Greg Madison.
Right.
Michigan's defensive line coach. They got him. They did well with Ryan Day last year.
Sure.
When Urban Meyer was serving his suspension. And I don't think there's any reason to think that it's just going to fall apart all of a sudden in year one under Day.
Well, even if Day isn't, you know, the second coming at Ohio State, there's still going to be a residual effect of Urban Meyer for the next year or two,
mm-hmm.
at least. Okay, they're still winning a lot of recruiting battles. You know, they're still Ohio State. They've got a lot of street cred, you know, in the recruiting trail and everything else. So, you know, they're still going to be good. And they're still going to out-athlete a lot of teams that they play.
So you're going over 10.5
for
Ohio State?
I would take the over.
I'm going over with Ohio State as well. Alabama, this is an interesting over-under because it's 11.
And I don't like that. I don't like it being a number.
Yeah, so these others you've got the haves. So
right.
Over-under 11 for Alabama means you either think they're going to go undefeated, and this is the regular season. It doesn't
count
an SEC championship game
Correct.
Or whatever. So it means they're either going to win 12, which means undefeated, or they're going to win 10, which means losing two.
And see,
so if I have to make that choice, the only choice I can make is the over.
Correct. If you put a gun to my head and say, you have to bet on this, then I guess I would take the over. But, I mean, how often? Alabama is, they are ripe to lose one game
right.
every year. The 11's their number.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, that is their number. I would push this all day and stay away from it because I think they'll win 11.
Yeah.
Because they do it so much.
I wouldn't touch it.
No, I wouldn't either.
Not at all.
I wouldn't either.
Last one, FanDuel's over-unders, college football over-unders for the season. Clemson is 11.5.
The ACC is not nearly as difficult as the SEC that Alabama has to play with. So, and I'm pretty sure that Clemson was the first team ever to go 15-0. Until they prove me wrong, I'm taking the over, and I'll say that they win them all.
I'm right there the same. I mean, they still have Trevor Lawrence, a lot of speed on offense. They've got to replace that defensive line, but they've got more. Just like with Notre Dame's got to replace the linebacking core in Jerry Tillery. Clemson's going to have guys they can plug in there. And
go. Yeah.
They might not be first-round talents, but when you've got the guy who's supposed to be the Heisman contender right off the bat and would have been potentially the number one pick in this year's draft if
right.
he could have come out, I think they're going to be okay. The only real question is, can they beat Texas A&M? They got better last year. Mike Elko got that defense better. So now year two. That's the biggest question. If that's the biggest question they have, then I don't see any reason not to take the over.
You're in pretty good shape if you've got the quarterback, the caliber that they do. And I tell you what, nothing scares me more as a Notre Dame fan than Trevor Lawrence as a junior coming into Notre Dame Stadium next year. Oh, my goodness.
Yep,
I think absolutely. You're going to see greatness on the field.
Absolutely. 21 minutes after 12 o'clock. I tell you what, let's take a timeout.
All right.
When we come back, we'll get into some Cubs talk. All kinds of stuff going on with the Chicago Cubs.
You're not kidding.
Right now. They pulled out of a little bit, not even a little bit. They pulled out of a tailspin with a win yesterday. They've got today off. They've got the two games against the White Sox this weekend. And then the All-Star break. But things are not happy in Cubs land. David Kaplan, WGN guy, probably the biggest Cubs backer in the media there is, even maybe more so than Len Casper and Pat Hughes, the play-by-play guys for the Cubs. David Kaplan is always out there cheering it, and he has been hard on the Cubs this week. The Javi Baez thing the other day and saying earlier this week that the team needs a shakeup. Then you've got Theo Epstein saying changes are coming if things don't turn around soon. So Vince and I will get into all of that, plus our crosstown draft coming up. We're going to draft two different teams based on the White Sox and the Cubs roster. So we will do that when we return. Again, we are typically at Five Star Dive Bar in downtown Elkhart, but Five Star is closed this week. Evan Sharpley and I will be back out there 1 week from today. And of course, when you're there, you can take advantage of their Jumbo Smoked Wings special. You can get a pound of Jumbo Smoked Wings for $7 all summer long at Five Star Dive Bar. You can get 2 pounds for $12, and they've got all different kinds of sauces, plus your ranch, your blue cheese, all that different stuff at Five Star Dive Bar, and the orders of wings come with a side of fries as well. Very tasty. I'm salivating and wishing.
You would have me on the week that you're not
there. We don't go to Five Star.
Unbelievable.
Of course. Just about 23 minutes after 12 o'clock, Leprechaun Lunch, 96.1, WSBT, the sports leader. Sean and Sharpley in the Leprechaun Lunch, 96.1, WSBT, the sports leader. Mr. Sharpley has today off. I was out last week, thanks to Tyler James from the South Bend Tribune for sitting in last week.
Did you have fun on vacation?
I did. I went to Cincinnati for the weekend.
Oh, nice.
My wife and I. And
excellent.
We actually saw the Cubs play. We went to a Reds game, went to a comedy show, did a lot of walking around and doing other stuff that didn't interest me very much. But I sat next to him. We were at the Cubs game. We had great seats. We were behind the third base dugout, like 15 rows back.
Nice.
And we probably paid like a fourth, maybe even a fifth of the price that you would pay for the same seats at Wrigley Field. But so I sat next to what were essentially the equivalents of Squints and Ham from the movie The Sandlot. These two kids, like 12 years old, and Squint sat next to me and talked all night. He's a Yankees fan, so I kind of gave him a hard time about that.
Well done.
Talked and talked and talked, and his parents kept going, you know, you might be bugging the man. I'm like, no, he's all right. like talking baseball. You know,
that's great.
So we went from like innings 1 through 8 talking nothing but baseball.
Wow. Well, I'm impressed the kid could keep up.
He did. I mean, and he knew his Yankees too. He was telling me all about how great Lucas Voit is and DJ LeMahieu, and
wow,
you know, they're going to be good because Giancarlo Stanton hasn't even been playing most of the year, and he would drop some wheeze in with the Cubs every now and then because the rest of his family, they were from a small town in Illinois, and so they had come down there to see it as well. And so the rest of his family was Cubs fans. But
how do Cubs fans raise a Yankees fan? How does that happen?
I know.
Gosh.
That close to Chicago, too, because I think they live like just a little bit south of Champaign-Urbana, is what they said.
Okay.
So, got a lot of information out of him.
I question the parenting.
Yes.
I do.
Got a Yankees fan that close to Chicago. But the other kid, the Ham kid, he was...
were they brothers?
No, they were best friends.
Oh, okay.
He told me, nope, this is my best... Because I think I asked him at one point, nope, this is my best friend. And Ham would just kind of nod his head every now and then. But Squints kept on talking.
That's great.
We needed Yaya there.
So in other words, he hung out with you, not his best friend.
Yeah.
It's pretty much what it comes down to.
It was. We were in the middle of the road. It was me, Squints, Ham, and then Mom and Dad.
Okay.
Toward the end of the road. They
okay.
Had, one of them had the aisle seat.
Okay.
Yeah, my wife was on the other side of me. So
I got to ask you a question, and this is completely unrelated. How is it traveling without your kids? You're at that stage now.
It's very quiet.
Oh, my gosh. I envy you so much right now.
Yeah. Wrong. But at the same time, I mean, you've got a jungle gym in your back seat. I just had two.
It's like WWE in my back seat.
Yeah, that's right.
Man.
That's right. You've got off the turnbuckle and the whole thing.
It's unbelievable. It's the girls, not the boys.
So, really?
Oh, man. Sisters, at least in my experience, they fight like cats and dogs. And the two boys, they just sit there. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. Now, the oldest is a boy, and he'll need him a little bit just to like get him going and then act innocent, you know, right. Like the typical oldest sibling.
Yeah.
But man, those when they get going, it's unbelievable.
I can't imagine.
So I envy you, sir.
Well, we'll see. Well, so the Cubs, we were teasing this before the break. Cubs, they salvaged a win in their series against the Pirates yesterday.
Yep.
And prior to that, they had been thumped earlier this week, 18-5 by the Pirates. I think, was that the...
It's ugly.
Was that the series opener or was that
game two?
In either case. So David Kaplan was not happy. Of course, he hosts the post-game show.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And he tweeted... Quote, this team needs a shakeup. It's on management to make tough calls and to make a deal or two to change the complexion of this club. As they are currently constructed, they have no shot to make a deep playoff run, end quote. And then, of course, you also had, we'll just throw this in there, Theo Epstein, I believe it was the next day on the Score radio station in Chicago, talking about big changes are coming if things don't turn around. So let's start with David Kaplan's comments. Do you buy or sell what he was saying? That
you know what? They're struggling currently. There's no question about it. And you could only hold on to 2016 for so long. I get that. And I'm loyal probably to a fault as well. And I would hate to see some of these guys go. But at the same time, if you got to shake it up, you got to shake it up.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these guys aren't necessarily pulling their weight, you know? And I would be okay with a bit of a shakeup. I really would be okay with it. It's going to be tough to unload some of these salaries and things like that, but I would be okay with it. I really would.
Yeah, and I mean, to me, and I think this last week against the Pirates and the Reds really put an exclamation point on it. They just don't have the feel of a contender. And I feel like if they were in either of the other two divisions, either in the East or the West, they would already be talking about blowing this thing up and just trading what you could get to get something back. But they're in a division where they're going to be competing all year because it's so cool.
Sure.
3.5 games separates first from last in the Central right
now. And here's the thing. If they could have won half their games the last 2 weeks, okay, or 3/4 of their games the last 2 weeks, they would have an enormous lead right now in the Central, and nobody would be talking like this. But you're right. They're just beating up on each other, and it is so incredibly close. So they're going to be in it the whole season.
When you look at the rosters of the Pirates and the Reds, and the Reds are holding their own with Milwaukee. They beat them 1-0 last night, so that helped the Cubs stay in first place. But when you look at the rosters, the Cubs unquestionably have more talent on the roster.
Absolutely.
I think the Brewers are right there with talent, probably a little bit better pitching on the Cubs side, but as we've seen all season so far, it is not performing. That way now, injuries have had something to do with that as well, and that game that I was at was actually the one where Cole Hamels strained his oblique, and you could tell in the first inning, he wasn't comfortable. He was trying to get it figured out. He went to the bullpen after the first inning to try to see if he could get loose. There was a delay before the second inning started when he finally ran back from the bullpen, and then he ended up going on the IL. But in any case, the question is, what are the moves that you're going to make? Now, they made an interesting one with this Robel Garcia, who had himself a day yesterday. His first two major league games were this week, with the Chicago Cubs. He had played minor league ball with the Indians from 2010 to 2013. And then he actually played in Italy for 5 years after that. But at Double-A Tennessee so far this season, prior to the call-up, the switch-hitting Garcia, who's 26 years old, combined to hit 285, 364 on-base percentage, 594 OPS, 594 slugging percentage, 21 home runs and 58 RBIs. And so yesterday, Garcia goes out with no Addison Russell in the lineup, and he hits a triple. His first career hit was a triple, and he ended up homering as well. So a nice little spark. I don't know if you're going to be able to rely on a guy like that long term, but at the same time, he is still 26, so it's not ancient. It's just young. That because he's from the Dominican Republic, he was signed really young, 9 years ago, by the Cleveland
17.
Indians. And I guess he went to Italy because his wife is from Italy, so he went over there and played for 5 years, and then he came back, and he was in Arizona. A Cub scout saw him down there, and that's how he ended up, back in organized ball. And so a nice little spark. Interesting stuff. This guy, Uncle Jeff, who's a Cubs blogger, tweeted this yesterday. With yesterday's game, with Addison Russell not playing. Oh, now, this is pre-Addison Russell showing up. So Russell not on the team. They were 20-13. So that's 33 games with Addison Russell not on the team. With Addison Russell on the bench, they are now 15-8. With Russell starting, they are 10-22. Russell's last nine starts, 1-9. And so then yesterday, you throw Robel Garcia in, no Addison Russell, and they explode. Now, again, not that that's the whole thing.
All right, there's like, other...
When you go back to the Russell was serving his suspension, you go back to that phase, you do have to take into account that Ben Zobrist was a big factor for the Cubs. And that's... He's a big factor in a lot of this stuff as well, because that's an option with all the lineup flexibility that Joe Maddon likes. And, that's why you had Wilson Contreras playing right field basically the other night, because you got to give Jason Hayward a night off sometime, even though they haven't used Gonzalez since signing him. I really don't know what's going on there. Yeah.
And he's gone.
So, I mean, thoughts?
I I have fallen out of love with Addison Russell, as I'm sure many people have. And it's not because of his situation off the field. Yes, that, I guess, comes into play with it a little bit. But he just hasn't really performed since he's been back. I tell you what, and I know that Ben Zobrist is dealing with a lot of personal issues off the field and things like that with his divorce and whatever has been reported. But, man, if you bring him back at some point, let's say August, September, I think he adds some juice to your lineup immediately. I really do. And he would almost be as good as like a deadline pickup, because he'd be new blood. You know what you're going to get with him. He, like you said, he adds flexibility to your lineup. And again, that's maybe me being loyal to a fault, but I think he's a gamer. He comes alive in the big games. I mean, he was, the World Series MVP? So, he's going to help
you out.
Won a
World Series 2 years in a row. He helped Kansas City win it in 2015, signed with the Cubs the next year, and helped them win it, obviously.
I just think if you can get him back on your roster in time for the postseason, maybe stretch run, I think that would be huge. And I don't have a problem. Everybody's talking about, hey, trade Addison Russell, Kyle Schwarber. Okay, I would have no problem bringing in an actual leadoff hitter.
The problem is, what are you going to get for those guys in return? Because that's what I don't see the trade value for either one of those guys being anything. Addison Russell, offensively, is a complete liability. That's why Robel Garcia, giving them what they gave them a bigger spark than they were going to get. And, and even Schwarber is adequate. It's hard with what baseball is right now, which is pretty much all or nothing. It's home run or strikeout. It's hard to look at some of these batting averages because it's easy to look at his .235 batting average and go, he's not doing anything. But there are 200 guys in baseball who are in that same boat, who are probably between .215 and .270.
Yeah.
Whereas you had a lot more guys just 10 years ago who used to be closer to .300. But it's a lot harder to gauge that. The on-base percentage is still not great. It's not perfect from the leadoff spot for Schwarber. But I just don't know what you're going to get from either one of those two guys. And if Theo Epstein is going to say big changes are coming if this doesn't turn around. Well, what are the big changes going to be?
Joe Madden.
Because they're still, well.
I think that, maybe I'm wrong, but I have, he might be leaning in that direction. There's a reason they didn't re-sign him before this season.
No, I know, but that's going to change things because I think it's more on Theo Epstein and the team that he put together than it is Joe Madden.
But who always takes the fall? He's not going to fire himself.
No, he can't, but I mean, I don't see that getting the job done.
Sure. Oh, I agree with you.
Switching the manager. And at the same time, Dave Kaplan was ticked off in the postgame show the other night about Javi Baez in the eighth inning in the game that Craig Kimbrell ended up blowing the save. And you can, again, go to how much of this is his fault, how much isn't. But Javi Baez in the eighth inning he singled off the wall because he stood and looked at it because he thought it was going to be a home run. So he ended up with a single in what easily should have been a double, and then he would have scored had he actually legged that thing out. And so what Dave Kaplan was saying was, look, you've got to, at some point, if you're Joe Madden, you've got to step up and make an example to somebody. You talk about respect 90 all the time. So do you really respect 90, or do you just say respect 90?
Sure, absolutely.
Because then Javi Baez is in the lineup again the next day with no repercussions.
So you're on my side, fire Joe Madden.
Well, I'm not saying fire Joe Madden, but I do think that he's definitely a player's manager.
Sure.
But at some point, you also have to hold these guys accountable for what you're saying that they're supposed to be accountable for. If you're going to be a player's manager, that's fine. But you can't just have these catchphrase slogans
and not back any of them.
Oh,
I agree. Yeah, I agree completely. It'll be interesting because I don't think that there's a lot out there to be had for what the Cubs are willing to give up. And I don't want them to give up any of the big pieces. I mean, if you're trying to make a run, you're trying to add pieces, not give up big pieces.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, maybe he can work his magic and find something out there for some desperate team. Because Kyle Schwarber, he does have value. He's still young. I mean, he's still hit 18 home runs at this point. He's shown he can hit in different spots in the lineup. So, I mean, he does have value, and he's gotten better in the outfield, although he completely dropped a very easy pop fly the other day.
Right.
But he does have value, and a lot of teams will value youth, you know, et cetera, and he's got that on his side. So, I mean, it's possible to get something for him. I just don't know what you're going to get for Addison Russell. I'd almost just send him down to the minors and let's have some fun with Garcia.
I think maybe the big question is, do you just cut bait, cut him completely?
Yeah.
And
they gave him a chance. I mean, I'm sure he's done everything right off the field since his incident or whatever, but he's not performing on the field. Hitting .248 is not okay. It's not good enough.
12:42. We're going to take another timeout with Vince Diderio, Sean Stiers, Leprechaun Lunch with Sean and Sharpley. We'll take a timeout when we come back. We will do our Crosstown Series draft. We're going to draft players from each of the teams with two Crosstown Series games going on this weekend at Guaranteed Rate Field. So we will do that. We will return with the Leprechaun Lunch at 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader. Wow. 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader. Sean and Sharpley and the Leprechaun Lunch. Evan Sharpley out today. Vince Diderio sitting in for him.
Oh, yeah.
I hear we could have an announcement that we need to make on you in the near future.
Here's hoping. I was hoping to hear something today, but
fingers crossed.
Definitely sure. By the 15th.
All right.
For sure.
All right. So that's 10 days away.
It is. It's a merciless 10 days.
Join the waiting group.
Man.
I'm waiting on something else we were just talking about during the break. You're waiting on that.
It's amazing.
All right.
It occupies your thoughts at night. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Makes it harder to sleep when you've got pending stuff coming up.
It does.
So the Crosstown Series resumes this weekend. White Sox host the Cubs tomorrow and Sunday. I thought we'd have a little fun. We're going to do a fantasy draft of Cubs and White Sox players. So we've got a coin we're going to flip.
All right.
And then we'll do a draft from the two teams' lineups. We'll get one player from each position, two starting pitchers, two relief pitchers, and obviously three outfield. We're filled a regular team.
Okay. So two relievers is what we're looking for.
Two relievers.
Because we got four for each team
listed.
And we each
get two starting pitchers.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
All right. I'll let you call it. This is your house. I'll flip it. Call it. Ready?
All right. Heads.
Tails.
Tails, all right.
It is tails.
So you want to pick first or defer?
I'm going to pick first.
Okay. Go ahead. So you can pick from anywhere.
I am going
to
go.
See where you go.
I'm going to go with starting pitching.
Okay.
Because I think that's super important.
Yep.
And I was going to go with Giolito because his stats are off the... I mean, they're great. Mm-hmm. They're amazing. Except when he plays the Cubs. And so the way I'm looking at this is it's a game against, you know, that team, right?
Right.
So it's a
right.
series, right? So I'm gonna go with Old Reliable. I'm going to go with John Lester.
Okay.
I am.
So Vince is going with John Lester. John Lester is off the board, and they're actually going head-to-head in tomorrow's game, Giolito and Lester.
And Giolito gave up 7 hits, 6 earned runs last game, and only went 4 1/3. So I got to leave him by the wayside.
Okay.
All right, you're up.
I'm going Javi Baez. This is easy for me.
Yeah, that way. That's fair.
Is that who you're hoping to get next?
Of course.
See if he slipped.
Of course.
Javi, 22 home runs, 60 driven in, 57 runs scored. 880 OPS. It's a little lower than I thought it was.
Yeah.
Actually.
But 22 home runs, that's nothing to sneeze at.
Yep. All right. So you've got John Lester. I've got Javi Baez. Vince?
Headed to the Tools of Ignorance, and I'm going with Wilson Contreras. Okay. All-star for the second year in a row. Got my catcher.
All right. So Vince has got Wilson Contreras. And now... I wrote these positions down. Javi can actually play second base or shortstop.
Oh, my gosh. You're going to go with Anderson,
aren't
you?
So I'm going Tim Anderson as my shortstop.
That's so smart. That's incredibly smart.
Thank you.
You were thinking outside the box, and I'm impressed.
I mean, you're okay with that, right? Because I listed positions, but Javi plays both in middle infield positions.
I just hope that your evening co-host isn't listening, because that was sneaky, and it was well played.
Okay.
That was well played.
All right, so I've got my middle infield set, and I'm ecstatic right now.
Oh, my gosh, you nailed it, too. I'm really upset with myself.
All right.
Which
Cub are you going to pick next, Vince?
Seriously, you're not wrong. You know what? I'm going to throw you a little bit of change up, and I'm going to go with Abreu at first base.
Okay.
Because his stats actually outshine my boy Rizzo. And so I'm going to and Rizzo's been in a slump lately.
Okay.
So I'm going to go with Abreu.
So that basically means I'm going to get Anthony Rizzo at some point, but I may or may not pick him.
That's a good point.
Now.
That's a good point.
So let's see. I do not have a starting pitcher yet. I've got a lot of my lineup I've got to fill out here.
No, we still both do.
Yeah, we're just getting going here. So I am going to go. I'm going to go with Kyle Hendricks.
Yeah, that's smart.
Because, as you mentioned, I mean, there's nothing wrong with Lucas Giolito. He's having a great year.
He is.
But hasn't been that great against the Cubs.
Correct. So I mean, small, you know, sample size, one game, but still. All right, so I'm gonna jump headlong right back onto the bandwagon and go with Chris Bryant as my third baseman.
Okay.
Yep.
So you've got Chris Bryant.
And honestly, numbers wise, you could easily go with Moncada and be just fine.
Yeah. All right. The outfield is a little thin.
You think?
So I'm gonna go. There's really three guys.
Yes, agreed.
Worthy of grabbing: Kyle Schwarber, Jason Hayward, Eloy Jimenez.
Yep.
And I'm going to go with Mr. Eloy. I'm going to take him.
All right.
I'm going to make him the second White Sox on my roster. So I've got Eloy.
Okay. Well, I'm going back to the hill.
Okay.
And even though I was downplaying him earlier, I'm going with Giolito.
Okay.
So I'm going to get my two starting pitchers, Lester and Giolito.
All right.
I think my man Lester is going to bring him along. He's going to coach him up.
Absolutely. All right, so you've got, Giolito is off the board now. So again, we've got like the positions where there's really only two options, unless you're going to go with a third string guy. Then I mean, we've got the bulk of them kind of hammered out here so far. So I'm going to go with Kyle Schwarber in my outfield.
The guy with no value, right?
No trade value.
Oh, my bad.
But he still has 18 home runs.
You're right. You are absolutely correct. Only hitting 231, so I don't know if you want to put him in that leadoff spot.
Yeah.
Probably not where you want to put him. But I have also neglected my outfield, so I will go with Hayward here.
Okay.
He's having a nice year, and I like him.
He is.
Sticking with him.
And I guess, now again, we're a little bit slimmer pickings here, so I'm going to go with Lurie Garcia to fill out my outfield.
Okay.
And he has 5 home runs, 24 driven, and 58 runs scored, though, just a 741 OPS. But I'm pretty pretty happy with the outfield. Well,
and he's one of the four guys in this entire list hitting over 300.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty good.
So now there are just a few options left here.
Yep. And so second base is wide open for me. And two more outfielders and then relief pitchers. That's where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go with the youth. And I'm going to go with Garcia at second base.
Robel Garcia. I like that.
I'm going with the new guy.
I mean, I think if yesterday
why not
said anything, it'll be interesting to see what Joe Maddon does now.
I agree.
Because, again, we've got all these big, bold statements from everybody yep. about what's got to be done. So they're going to stick with the kid?
I would.
I think I
and I'm going to
as well.
Yeah, no, I like it.
Okay, so then neither one of us has done anything with our bullpen.
We have not.
And I'm going to take Alex Colom.
Ooh.
The White Sox closer.
Okay.
19 saves, a 2.08 earned run average.
And while Craig Kimbrel, wow, has a 16.88 ERA currently,
right.
I'm going to go with the track record and say that that is, you know, an aberration, and I'm going to bring him in as my closer.
Okay.
So I will keep him.
And then I am going to go with Brandon Kinsler.
Ah, that was my next one.
10 holds, a 2.04 earned run average in my bullpen. So all of my pitchers are taken care of. I think all of your pitchers are taken.
No, well, you haven't picked your starter yet.
Oh, that's right.
It's going to be Nova, but you haven't picked
there's only,
him.
Yeah, because we're going with, just to make sure everyone knows, we're going with, there are only two games this weekend.
Correct.
Lester against Giolito tomorrow, and then it's Ivan Nova against Kyle Hendricks.
So you know you're going to get Nova.
I've actually, yeah, but so I'm going to get Nova. I haven't technically picked him.
Correct, yet. Correct. So you have all your pitchers, so I get to choose whoever I want. So at this point, I'm going to hold off on the pitchers, and I will just take my man Almora from center field since, you know, the only two outfielders left are going to end up on my team anyway.
Okay.
So I'm going to take him.
So I'm going to go with Anthony Rizzo as my first baseman.
Smart.
Since you took Jose Abreu earlier.
Yes, I did.
So, looks like I've got three spots to fill still. What do you have? Three?
I believe so. Yes. I'm going back to the relief pitcher area.
Okay.
And because I really just like his name and his ERA, I'm going with Aaron Bummer.
Okay.
And he's got a 1.72 ERA. So, that's pretty great. He's got 32 strikeouts and 31 innings pitched.
Yep.
So, I'm going to go with Bummer.
All right. Then I'm going to take Yoan Moncada.
Yeah.
As my third baseman.
Smart. You still don't have a second baseman, though, right? No, yeah, you have Anderson.
Javi's my second baseman.
Yeah,
Anderson's
you got
my shortstop. Wow, I'm still pretty proud of myself.
You really should be, because that was was low class. All right, so I have to take Cordell as my other outfielder, which I'm not overly excited about with his .234 batting average and 5 home runs. But okay. I don't have a choice, so I'm going to take him.
Okay.
So then I'm done. So then, this is your last go around.
So
here.
I've got James McCann as my catcher, and then I've got Ivan Nova as my starting pitcher. So here's what my lineup looks like. I've got Kyle Hendricks and Ivan Nova as my two starting pitchers. They go head to head. We essentially both got the head to head matchups.
Yeah, we did.
For pitching. Those two go head to head Sunday. I've got Colom and Kinsler as my two relief pitchers, and then my catcher is James McCann. My first baseman is Anthony Rizzo. I've got Javi Baez at second base, Tim Anderson at shortstop, Yoan Moncada at third base, Eloy Jimenez, Kyle Schwarber, and Leury García in the outfield. I'm pretty confident in that lineup.
You might have just kicked my butt.
I hope I come anywhere close to having this.
Man.
When Darren and I do it.
I think you kicked my butt in the drafting game.
So we've got less than a minute. Go through your lineup real quick.
So Lester and Giolito starting things off. I've got Kimbrel and Bummer in my bullpen. I've got Wilson Contreras behind the plate. I've got Abreu at first. I've got the new kid on the street at second, Garcia. I've got Bryant at third. Let's see here. I've got Hayward, Almora, and Cordell in the outfield.
All right.
Yes. Now, hold on a second. I never picked a shortstop.
All right.
Because there aren't any left.
You better get one real quick.
So I'm going to have to take my boy, Addison Russell, as my shortstop.
Play short.
Gosh. He held it down for a long time. I'm going to have faith. I'm going to throw my faith at him.
All right. Vince, good to have you in today. Good luck with that lineup. I'm liking mine anyway. We'll see how it goes. We'll talk to you next week back at Five Star WSBT South Bend.